Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
And Will, numbers kind of bear it out, but do you see that without those guys in the lineup, they clearly kind of rely on the three-point shot a little bit more, which gives them an opportunity to make more three-point shots, but you know it coincides with Trey Lyles starting to shoot the ball a little bit better, and De'Aaron Fox obviously shooting the way he did. We saw what Keon did on Monday night, and even Kevin Herter, Monday night aside, had been shooting the ball a little bit better from three. I'm assuming when you say blend pre-injury into injury, you want to see those guys continue to shoot with that level of confidence. Does that mean maybe more three-point attempts when those guys come back than we saw earlier in the season?
I don't know. That's hard. Because then you're taking away the shots that DeRozan is so good at. I honestly don't know how you, like, maybe it's a game-to-game basis on what the opponent is doing on defense. Mm-hmm. That's probably the way I would go about it, is try not to focus on the number, but the percentage more. Because I feel like there are going to be games where the Kings just have a huge advantage, especially in that floater area, the mid-range. So they can kind of do that more. And then there are going to be other games where teams are trying to take that away, and maybe that's the games where you have 40-plus three-point attempts. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be up and down all season in terms of attempts. Like, even the last – how many games has DeRozan missed?
Three?
Five?
Three?
Five.
Three.
No, he played – he left
five for
Monk. He left the middle of Wednesday's game, okay. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or Friday, Saturday, Monday.
So they've taken 37, 41, 46 three-point attempts in those games, which is way up from what they've been doing. But the games before that, 28, 38, 37 –
yeah, the 28, that was the Phoenix game, right? Didn't they shoot like 40-something percent in that game?
Yeah, 53%.
Yeah, it was just such a lower number than we're used to them shooting.
Yeah. And so they've been all over the place in terms of three-point shooting attempts. Like, it just goes up and down, up and down. And I think that's just going to be how it is.
All right.
I don't know. That's not a bad thing, I don't think. Remember, they're shooting so well inside.
Yeah. And I think the thing that a lot of us are curious about that we started to talk about yesterday, but didn't really dive into is, we're talking about a specific shot, a three-point shot, when these guys get back. But we saw De'Aaron's aggression kind of accelerate, probably out of necessity, over the last handful of games. How aggressive does De'Aaron Fox, I guess, stay when these guys return? And that's not a question your numbers can tell you, Will. That's a question that we're just asking ourselves as fans, is we saw De'Aaron do something we had never seen before. Then he followed it up with something we had only seen once, and the time that we saw it was the night before. Right. Like, people forget the 49 would have beaten his career high prior to the 60.
Yeah.
And what does his approach look like? His approach on Monday was a little bit different. But he was still really aggressive. I think 20-plus shots in that one. What's it look like when DeMar comes back? If DeMar, Domas, and Malik all come back at the same time, does De'Aaron fall back a little bit? Does De'Aaron try to keep going? Like, what is his, what is the return of, you know, the rest of his superstar castmates due to his game and his approach over the course of the last, you know, three games or so?
Yeah, and it's so, like, this team is so talented between Sabonis, Fox, and DeRozan. Before the injuries, I don't know if I could have said who the top player was. I probably would have leaned towards Sabonis, I think. But now it's like it's shifted back to Fox. Like, it's so easy to shift on who this team's, like, number one player is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the first few games, maybe it was DeRozan, then Sabonis, then Fox. I don't know. I feel like we have more questions now after the injuries than we do before. Like, we're just getting into a good sample size, starting to figure this team out.
Yeah.
And now the injuries happen, and there's just a ton more questions.
Was there anybody that got, you know, some playing time that normally wouldn't during the injury period that kind of stepped out to you and you said, hey, I want to see him continue to play some more?
I thought the first game, Orlando Robinson played well. Second game, I don't know. No one super stood out to me, unfortunately. Like, I still like the guys. I just think they're in roles that don't suit them in this situation when they're getting minutes, especially when you have lineups where it's like four or five of those guys at a time. I don't know. What about you guys? Have you talked about any of the, like, role player guys that are coming in yet?
I liked Orlando. You know, I liked Orlando.
Yeah. I liked Isaac, too.
Isaac played well. I liked Orlando more. I don't know if I want to see Isaac more. I don't know how much I want to see him moving forward when everybody's back.
Wow.
Well, because I don't know. Wow. I don't know where the minutes are. Who's he going? Yeah, I don't know who he's going.
Yeah. The minutes can be there for Orlando. They can't really be there for Isaac. Yeah, for sure.
Especially with how well Trey's been playing. He's probably the other takeaway with the injuries is how well Lyles. Like, he looked great against the Hawks and just doing everything out there. Because he opens up so much when his shot is falling that it's, I don't remember the stat last year, but, like, when he scored over 10 points, the Kings' record was just, like, they won most of those games because you don't expect him to score at that rate. So if he can keep his shot up, which I think he can, now that he's kind of gotten his legs under him, that you just don't have room for some of these other guys. But Orlando Robinson, I liked him more in the pick and roll game. I thought that he set some good screens and had some good roll action. It's just not something the Kings do so much, and maybe something they could do more of. I know.
Well, I think people think the Malik Orlando, that could be a match made in heaven.
Yeah,
could be. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that could be a match made in heaven. Trey's an example of, like, necessity. Like, hey, yeah, we need you, dog. Like, and he was able to step up. Of course, the Kings needed Keegan and Kevin as well, and I think they kind of carried at certain points, and maybe not necessarily through all three games, but hopefully things look a little bit different on Friday. Hopefully things look a lot different from the last time we saw the Kings and the Clippers play, because that was a disaster.
That was...
I saw it firsthand, and that's a hard pass for me. That sucked.
That was awful.
Norman Powell is just ridiculous. Like, he's one of those players where I watch him, and I don't... He doesn't look like he should be that good.
Mm.
Maybe it's the shirt. The T-shirt under the jersey always gets me.
Hate it. So do bad. Not understand it.
So maybe it's that, but, like, he is just so...
Like, what are you getting out of this? What is the purpose of you wearing that
shirt? Well, it's the compression. Yeah. It's not the old Toby Bailey T-shirt. No,
what are you doing this for?
The compression.
Just to make us mad.
Under the jersey.
Really?
Get a compression tank top.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm trying to think that I wear a compression T-shirt.
There ain't no
I think
way
I
you
did.
Wore a T-shirt. Did you?
No, I'm talking about recently.
Oh.
Back in the day. Back in the day, I wore the cutoff, you know, I cut the sleeves off a T-shirt, and you could just see the neckline, but on the shoulders, you couldn't see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Will, we appreciate you. I think the Kings got some tough games coming up, too. I think the Clippers is a tough game. I actually think Brooklyn's a really tough game.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think
they're playing well.
Yeah, they're I think they're 6-9. It's in our notes. I think they're 6-9. Like, they have capable scorers. Like, Jordy's Jordy's going to be a little up for that one. I think they got some tough matchups ahead.
Yeah, they can. But, you know, the Kings can just trade for some of those people since Brooklyn says everybody's available. Did you see that article?
I didn't.
It said everyone's available.
Man, even with how well they're playing in the East right now?
I think they're probably the third seed. I was talking to Kyle about it. This wasn't the plan. They're too good right now. They're too good. This was supposed to be a tank season set themselves up for the draft to get their next superstar.
Jordy like that.
And they got too many good ball players right now. Jordy's doing a good job. So they got to get
Dennis Schroeder's been really good leading the way kind of for them at point guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6-9, ninth spot in the East.
Okay. Really? 9? I would have thought they were third.
Probably tied.
I know. There's probably a bunch of
half a game out.
Yeah, it's super close. They're one game behind the fifth spot.
Go get Finney Smith or Cam Johnson, Monty. Make up for this draft.
I still would love
wonder.
Cam Johnson.
Monty's going to go get someone on IR, IR or whatever it's called. Just can't play the rest of the year.
Man, I don't know. I know you guys already talked about the Devin Carter stuff, but a lot of the same thoughts and opinions on how he's going to get on the court.
What do your numbers say about Devin Carter not playing this year, Will?
Well, the Kings have a bunch of guards, so I don't know. It just really doesn't make sense where he's going to fit in unless there's a trade that they do, but it's nice having that.
Mike was banking on still hating Kevin.
Well, that was the plan.
Maybe it wasn't.
We were all surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But we appreciate you, Will. I know that.
Yeah. Happy to be here. Happy to be back.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We'll talk again soon, Will. We'll be locked in to see what drops over the next couple of days as we just kind of take a little summer break headed into the Kings and Lakers Friday night, which feels like an eternity from today. Or Kings-Clippers, sorry, in Los Angeles on Friday night. Appreciate you, Will, as always.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Care, man.
So, man, Will Z from SI right there. National Media's Will Z. He's got Tyrese Halliburton ranked over De'Aaron Fox. That's his final step into national media-ism. He's got to rank Tyrese Halliburton above De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis.
That's when he gets crowned. That's when as national media. Yes,
welcome. Welcome, you are amongst us. Bon Temps is over there. Winhurst is over there. You can go see Kevin O'Conn, man, back here to the right.
That guy over there, you talk to him if you ever need coffee. He'll go get it for you.
But only talk to him if you need coffee.
That's
don't
it.
No. talk
don't
to
talk
him,
to him about basketball.
Don't talk to him about anything else. He's going to try to engage you regarding basketball. Don't speak to him.
See the little guy next to him? That's the guy who makes the coffee.
Yeah, that's it.
The barista.
Yeah, and no matter how much he tells you he's from Sacramento, just ignore him. Just put in your coffee order, Will, and step aside. Over here, there's Mark Jones and there's Mark Spears. That's where you go spend your time.
You go talk to them.
You go spend your time with those guys. I don't like this Brooklyn game, man. I actually think these next two games are going to be tough. Not suggesting that the Kings can't win these games at all. I think both of these games are going to be difficult. The Clippers are this just might be the Clippers. Like, they're going to play hard in every game, but they're going to be like 500 or hovering around 500.
Yeah, I think so. As long as they have those players, like I said, I really think they and understandably so. Like, I get it. Like, you're the Brooklyn Nets. Like, you're not gonna do much of anything with this group.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like, try and get Cooper Flagg, try and get Ace Bailey, try and get, like, that's what you need there. So I understand the mindset of trying to, you know, have a bad record, tank, you know, get a high draft pick, but they put together too good of a team. This team's too good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the coach is too good for this. They believe in what he's saying. I mean, look at that roster. This is not Washington or Utah. They got Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, Finney Smith, Schroeder, Claxton. Like, they got some good, solid ball players on there. And you combine that with Jordy Fernandez being as good of a coach as he is, yeah, they got to get rid of some of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they get rid of them before Sunday.
Well, I'm not. Well, get rid of him on Sunday.
What's been the temperature check with the Kings? Because the guys have gone for a week. They've had some guys out, game some got lost a couple games or whatever, won a game. Like, how's everyone feeling? Yeah,
you weren't here for the Phoenix win, right? So I think we did a show. So we did the night of that broadcast was the night of the Spurs game. They got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
They beat Phoenix right after that.
Day.
Yeah, they were down
Tuesday.
And then they were really up after Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And then that's where DeMar. We lost DeMar, and things got a little sketchy going into that Minnesota game. De'Aaron goes crazy. Obviously, they wind up losing, and then they're lifted right back up with the Utah one. I don't feel like the temperature after Atlanta was as bad as San Antonio. San Antonio sucked.
Yeah.
Atlanta was like, all right, like De'Aaron got fouled on that last play. Like, it sucks it came.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Came to that, but we are missing three key players.
That's how you rationalize it.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying that as saying you're wrong or anybody's wrong for thinking that way, but you can't get too frustrated. When you look at, you know, the NBC Sports California keeps panning to the bench, and you see DeMar sitting next to Sabonis and Monk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, well, yeah, like, let's just try to survive.
Yeah.
We survived on Saturday. We weren't able to do it on Monday. All right. And then you got this break, and everybody should be coming back. So right now, I guess to answer Jesse's question, people kind of – wait and see mode or just get these guys back and let's try to go on a little bit of a run after that.
We'll come back. KC found a fun Twitter thread yesterday.
Yeah.
That creates some interesting conversations. We'll talk about that. And I already think there needs to be some changes to the college football playoff rankings.
Well,
there's some things that, like, they don't make sense. They don't make sense.
I think I disagree. I think I disagree.
Well, I don't care. I'm doing the tease, so you just got to deal with it. We'll come back. CeeLo KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Sky River Casino, where we will be December 6th. Got a little taste of Flashback Friday to start the show. A little rain montage. We got a couple of songs in the tuck that we could break out through. The rest of the week.
They were sending more suggestions in there, too. Some good ones.
We got quite a few we can rock with the rest of the week. But December 6th, man, make your plans to be with us. Word is the private jets are being chartered from all over the country to make their way out here to be a part of this event, the biggest live show we've ever done. December 6th, 12 to 4, Dealing with Casey, live from 32 Brew Street. Dealing with Casey live on 102.5 KSFM,
yeah.
DJ Complex, Flashback Friday. Got word yesterday the 4 o'clock hour will be commercial free.
Ooh.
We're going commercial free from 4 to 4:50. Get the commercials out of the way. Then we're coming back, and we're going commercial free from 5 to 5:50.
Okay.
And then we'll get through the 6 o'clock hour, and then we'll head into Are You Smarter Than Kevin with the wake-up call at 7 o'clock. Now, from what I understand, there's going to be, it's like trivia night, and there's going to be teams.
Okay.
So anyone who's rocking with D'Lo and KC want to be a part of the Are You Smarter Than Kevin Wake up call trivia night. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to do some registering during the 5 and 6 o'clock hour. I think that's something we might be doing. but we're going to have like trivia night there from 7 to 9. And so if some of the chatty house wind up on a squad, y'all better represent.
Yeah, right,
we don't lose.
Yeah.
We don't lose.
Got to represent. I was chuckling because yesterday I was at Grocery Outlet on 8517 Bond Road.
Mm hmm.
With our girl Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle was there, and we just had we were talking about that day and live shows. And I was like, how is that for you? Like, is the work done once the shows happen? And she goes, yeah, they are, but those Are You Smarter Than Kevin's, that becomes a lot. She was talking about the scoring system and all this.
The scoring system that they've used in the past has been a bit antiquated. So I think maybe Jackie or someone has found like an app that we can use. So we'll have like an app based scoring system, because I guess what used to happen in the past is they'd actually have to stop the show and Gavin would have to like tally the scores. Yeah. I think we're trying to, you know, put those 1988 days behind us and work from a little bit more of a technological standpoint here.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, well, you know. This one, you know, we'll all be there. It'll be all good.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah.
Oh, poor Danielle. Well, as long as we get some Chinese food afterwards.
There we go.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as we get some Chinese food afterwards. What did you find yesterday on Twitter?
Man, so I'm on Twitter and, you know, just scrolling, and somebody came up with this question that's actually, you know, I'm a history buff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I love history.
Mm-hmm.
And this is right up my alley, sports history. And they said, if the NBA released a top 10 regular season games since 2000 list,
mm-hmm.
name a game that certainly makes the cut. And people were naming just the one game. You don't have to come up with 10.
Okay.
But, man, well, the thread is crazy.
What's the first one that comes to your mind? Like, immediately when you say that, what's the first one that comes to your mind?
It's kind of difficult because I saw it on a quote tweet, and the game that I saw on the quote tweet was like, oh, yeah, that's definitely up there. It was Cavs-Warriors Christmas Day, Christmas 2017.
Okay. Yeah.
It's one of the greatest regular season games in the last quarter century. That was fantastic. But then I started to think the other one is probably Warriors-Thunder.
Okay. Yeah, that was half court
the double bang game, as they like to say. That's what they call it in the Bay Area, the double bang game.
Hey, salute.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with those.
Then you go down a little bit, and I forget.
You haven't even said the first game that came to my mind.
Is it Kings Clippers?
No. Actually, it's not.
Kobe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Kobe 60.
I forgot that. Kobe 60 or 81?
No, 60. The retirement game.
Oh, that game.
The retirement game.
Kobe 81 goes above that for me.
Oh, no chance. Not for me.
Kobe 60's up there.
No, though. That's
one of the ones.
I think, okay, prior to the Clippers, I guess they're not the same, and Kobe will always be a little bit different now. But that was the most fun I'd ever had watching a regular season, especially a meaningless game, a game that didn't mean anything.
No,
For sure, like, that game was happening at the same exact time the Warriors were breaking the regular season wins record, and no one cared.
Yeah.
And if you flipped over at the exact right time, you saw the buzzer expire for the Warriors, and even the people there didn't care. Yeah. Flip back to the Lakers game.
That's a tough one between the two, because my first thought is 81 is – I mean, I remember I was at in the, everything for both of them. I didn't watch 81 live, though. I watched the last game. His last game live. So maybe there's something to that. But on the thread.
I knew he was going to go for 80, too. I told my friends.
I saw the first shot.
We're going to go for like 70 tonight.
79. Yeah. I'm telling you. All right. Laurent.
That's how I felt.
Nobody had scored 70 in 25 years. Mm-hmm. But
he saw it.
He was going to score 70. But that game was up there. The last game, the 81 game. A lot of people were on the Kings Clippers.
Absolutely.
That was one of the great games, great regular season games we have ever seen. That was fantastic. But there was so many other good ones that came to mind. I forgot this was past 2000. T-Mac, what did he score, 13 and
18
seconds or something like that?
Yeah.
Something crazy. That was a lot of people were
talking about. Was that a regular season game?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the Spurs. That was crazy. A lot of people were talking about this Warriors-Lakers double OT game from like a year or two ago. No.
Warriors-Lakers double OT game.
No, I think it was like a Saturday night game. No, that's not. There's
stop definitely. Trying to make me think Lakers-Warriors was ever something, dude. Stop.
What about Lakers-Celtics where the referees couldn't sleep at night?
that was hilarious.
Classic reaction.
Yes. Pat Bev holding up the camera, throw that in the Naismith Hall of Fame.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. Westbrook's 2020. I watched that live.
The other one, I thought it was the Westbrook clinching the 42 Denver. Or triple double.
Yeah, Denver.
That was an all-timer.
Yep.
Another one was the Bulls.
Ends that game with a buzzer beater.
Crazy. Knocks them out of the
playoffs. Got triple-double 200 last night, by the way.
Shout out to Russ.
Got triple-double number 200.
Got a weak technical, too. I didn't like that.
Yeah, is that the one where he was staring at? Yeah.
Refs are...
terrible.
Awful. Awful.
Terrible.
The Bulls breaking the Heat's 27-game winning streak.
Okay.
That was... Do you kind of remember? I remember that one. That
yeah. I don't think I saw that live, though.
Yeah.
I don't think I watched that game live. I think I heard the record, the streak ended, and then saw it.
Yeah.
I don't remember watching that
live. I remember
live.
Watching that game. That was because I wanted the Heat to keep going. And the
what was the record? 33,
I think it was, by the Lakers.
33, for some reason, 36 in my head, too, but I feel like it was 33.
They won 27 straight games.
That's crazy. Well, how many did the Rockets win? Was it 24?
That's a good question. I thought it was just 20.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
Thought it was just, but it could have been. I could be way off with that. But that was, man, 27 straight. That was, and that was like what we all.
22.
22.
Split the difference with you. 22.
That's what we all thought that Heat team would look like. Like they would win 20 games in a row two or three times or whatever. And to see them actually get into that mode was crazy.
Did they underachieve?
Who?
The Miami Heat, the big three Miami Heat.
They won two out of the four.
But was there more to be had there?
Lost one to the Mavs, one to the Spurs.
Yeah. Maybe you could say they should have won three. Maybe, but they won two.
I don't think they did underachieve, but maybe they did have a lot more potential.
Again. Losing to that Dallas team is kind of baffling. That's the one where it's like,
That's really tough. And you had that series in control on two different occasions. And
yeah,
you just because they were up in the game two, they were up 10 with like 2 minutes to go.
That's the series where Wade and Bron were making fun of Dirk because Dirk like was sick one of the games and they were like mocking him at a press conference.
Yeah. Well, they also, I can't stall them out because they knew cameras were there because they were following them. But it was like backstage.
It wasn't at the podium?
No, they were like, I think Dirk was sick on the podium.
Okay.
And then like the next day, like walking into the building or walking around the building for a shoot around or something like that, it was really Wade. It was the culprit. Wow. He was like, got to let you guys know I'm sick. It was like, okay.
That's your boy. That's your boy.
That ain't my boy.
Still didn't forget you breaking Rondo's arm, boy. Still didn't forget.
No. Oh, this is a good one.
Okay.
Lynn's Sanity versus Kobe and the Lakers.
Oh, that's a great one.
That is a real good one. That one went crazy. Wow. That one went crazy. That was an all-timer. That was peak insanity.
Is the definitive Warriors game the Oklahoma City one?
Probably. Yes,
that's what I'm going to bring up right now.
That's the one?
Probably. But I think that...
Drew Down, what y'all think? Is that the Uncle Loon? Is that the one?
I think that...
Better game seven.
Well,
it was different. Well, yeah, it was different.
I think that Christmas Day game, that was the best Christmas Day game ever.
The Lakers,
the
Warriors?
The Warriors, Cavs, 2017.
Okay.
That was, I'll think about that more as we get closer to Christmas. But I think that was the best Christmas Day game ever. That had the drama. The stars were just, they were going crazy. They were all in their prime. It felt like Bron, Kyrie, Clay, KD, Steph. Like, yeah, that was some good stuff. That was some good stuff. That might have been the best Christmas Day game ever.
Besides the Clippers, what's the Kings?
It's a good question. They got quite a few. That
is it. DeMarcus's 56. Because that's the is getting ridiculous game, right?
Yeah. Is it that one, or is it Bogey hitting the three on the Lakers?
That was fun. I was there for that one.
I was there for that one too.
That place went crazy.
I don't know.
Oh wow!
I don't really care about that one. It was cool. Like, it was fine.
Looking back, I saw that video a couple of weeks ago, And looking back, it's just like, it then means nothing.
No, that
it means nothing. We're well, so high.
DeMarcus is 56, doesn't either, whatever it was. But yeah. Like, still, like, that's memorable for 15 different reasons.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't know. I never cared about the bogey game.
Joe, the Kevin Herter.
So that's the one that was immediately going through my mind was the Kevin Herter shot against the Jazz. That's the one that was going through my mind.
And also, this is a little recency bias because we did say 2000. And do we remember any regular season games vividly from the greatest show on court?
Regular season games, I don't.
I can't think of any. I mean, and I know the guy, he's in a box, I guess. There's a game against Dallas where Keon Clark, I think it's two game-winning buckets, like a game-time bucket in regulation, and then got the game-winning one in overtime, got a tip. And I just remember him running down the court talking about two times, people are going crazy. I remember that regular season game pretty vividly. But, man, I got to be honest, it's not a lot that I remember regular season-wise from those teams. And then we were just in the wilderness for
eternity. Can you remember, like, a Kevin Martin game or a
– Oh, no, but would they come back from, like, 33 against Chicago?
They did. I think it was
the fourth quarter.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
That was a big time one. They had one.
What was the one where Tyreek jumped on the table? That wasn't the same game. That wasn't the same game though, was it? That wasn't the Chicago game.
That's when he hit the half court joint against Memphis. That was a great
finish. Yeah.
They had to win to start the season against the Lakers when the first time they saved the team. And okay. It was Tyreek and it was DeMarcus. Everybody in Arco was wearing
first
black shirts.
First time they saved the team is crazy, right? Amazing crazy. Sentence.
I remember because I was there the second time. The second and final time when Vivek said, "This is your team."
Okay, Vivek.
That was against the Nuggets.
Thank you, Vivek. No, thank you, Vivek. We appreciate you. I thought he said that at the park.
He might have, but he definitely said it on that opening night.
Okay.
In Arco.
Is that where Dave was on the ladder with the glow sticks? Was that the same night? That's right. You're like, Dave, get your ass down. You're going to hurt yourself. What are you doing?
Hey, look. I think I tell you guys because we have a good time with it. But there was another picture taken. I don't think this picture's on the internet.
Wow. How many pictures do you have with Dave?
Well, I did take one with Dave that day.
Oh, no. Who's the picture with, Kenny? Who's the picture with? Is he wearing a tuxedo? Who's the picture with, Kenny?
I don't know.
Who's the picture with?
Can't say it ain't so.
Oh.
I don't think. Wow. And I shouldn't.
How many times are you going to leg drop on this show?
What are you doing with him? I'm just saying that I don't think it's out there. I don't think I ever posted.
Say who the picture is with.
Yeah, come on. We always say it. Say it.
Say who you took a picture with.
Stand on it.
We all know who it is.
Who did you take a picture with?
I have
that night.
I have guesses in my mind.
Go ahead.
Oh, I need you to say. I'm not gonna do that.
No, confirm.
No. Who did you take a picture with that night?
Kenny, I promise we won't go to break. I promise. We'll take this whole thing down unless you say that name.
Wow. Just say it.
Hey, man. Look, I was on the outside.
Yeah.
I was on the outside. I didn't know.
You didn't know what?
I didn't know who I was taking a picture with.
Yeah, you knew who you were taking a picture with. Man. Wow.
I didn't know. What year was that?
What a turncoat this guy turned out to be.
I think you know a guy.
What year was that?
More heel turns than the Big Show in 2008.
What year is that? That's like 2013? 2014? When Vivek finally took over the team.
Yeah.
I want to say
no, I don't think it was that because I think I came back. Was it 15?
Maybe.
Because I moved back at the in December of 2015.
Yeah. Might have been about 15.
And I was at the park the day he did the gimmick at Cesar Chavez Park. This is your team.
Yeah. Soren says it was 13. Because the marker for me is, when did Golden One open?
Hell happened in 15 then? Or maybe I was starting the process of moving back. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I was starting the process of moving back, and I hadn't actually moved back when that happened yet.
13, 14 was.
I actually moved back twice. That explains it. That was the first time I moved back. That's what it was. I moved back, went back to Connecticut, left Connecticut again, and came back here.
Yeah, man. But yeah, I'm trying to think of other games that the King regular season games that the Kings have had.
Well, I remember the Kobe's last game at
that was a good one.
The what was his last game? It was at Arco, but it was his last game. That was, again, it didn't mean a lot, but I'll certainly remember that one. We lost the Kobe Bryant curtain call because the Kings blew the lead to the second squad of the Lakers, and Kobe was like, well, let them finish, like they might be able to win this game. And like, I was looking dead at Kobe Bryant when he waved them off. He waved them off and took off his shoes. I'm like, and I think the arena was so frustrated with the way the game ended, they forgot. And then all of a sudden Kobe gets up, and then you realize, oh crap, and everyone started cheering, and Kobe did the bop, 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 and I was like, they ruined it. The freaking Kings ruined Kobe's farewell at the arena.
Thanks a lot, dear.
And I remember them being mad after the game, too. It was like, they felt like we lost. I was like, well, all right, you're about to experience some losing around here, but.
Is Puke Guy's the worst game of the regular season since 2016?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. It's either the worst game of the
regular season. I feel like it was a cap on a bad situation.
Well, got what, it.
Which one? What?
The Puke Guy.
Oh, man.
That was rock bottom.
Was rock bottom. That, we even went further down than, no, because that was after. I was about to say, that's even lower than Alvin saying.
No, that was later. That was after Guy Puke. Yeah, because Puke Guy was the end of Luke Walton.
Yeah, yeah. But randomly, I was watching the game. It was either Friday or Saturday. I can't remember. But I was watching the game, and they did like a replay or something like that. And De'Aaron does something, and Alvin gets hyped. They show like a baseline cam, and Alvin sits like on the baseline, and Alvin's like, yeah, let's go. I said, Alvin.
Sit down, Alvin.
Hey, those moments between like Puke Guy and we're not quitting up until we get Sabonis and all that, that's like a fever dream or like just bad or whatever.
The Alvin Gentry era is pretty awful.
Oh, man, it was tough.
It's pretty awful.
It was tough.
Probably to little fault of his own, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was tough. In the chat.
Still here 3 years later.
And we don't want him to go anywhere.
Absolutely
stay
not.
Stay right here, Alvin. Absolutely don't leave. Not. In the chat, we forgot. This is 2000s. LeBron's first game.
LeBron's first game, yeah. LeBron scored 55 here one night. Best seat I ever have for a basketball game. It was Kenny Caraway's seat.
No, I don't have a seat. Stop it.
I think it was 55. Hit a shot from right in front of us. Crazy. I think the Kings lost that game in overtime, if I remember correctly.
Huh. Was he with the Heat?
Cavs. The Cavs. He was with the Cavs.
Second time.
First run with the Cavs.
I think he was here in Sacramento when he yelled Zdrinas Ilgauskas. Zdrinas Ilgauskas. I'll never forget that. Something happened. I think it was here. Maybe I was just watching a game, but the mics picked it up. And LeBron didn't do something right. And they came back down court. And Big Z was like, hey, LeBron, you got to go da 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 da. And LeBron said, hey, who the blimp you think you're talking to, bruh?
All right, King, settle down, bro. Settle down, bro.
Zdrinas fell back. He fell back after that.
Oh, Scout's got a good one. Clay's 1,000 points in a quarter. I mean, you don't have to like it, but I sure as hell remember seeing it.
I remember where I was. I was watching that at a McDonald's in Modesto after a high school football game.
Damn. I remember exactly what happened. I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Carson watching Kings Warriors. The Kings had got the lead down to two. And I was like, all right, it's down to two. Get some stops. And Clay went off. They went from like 2-21 in like a minute and a half.
That's the thing I always say about that game. Clay didn't score 37 or whatever it was in a quarter. He scored 37 in like half a quarter.
He went crazy.
And it was one of those things, like everyone knew Dalton Connect was hitting threes last night. Like the whole, everyone knew. I don't think the Warriors knew what was happening. And there's one specific play, it might be with like 3 or 4 minutes left, where Clay is cooking. And they're coming down the floor, and they're just coming. And Clay's like, give me the ball.
Yeah.
And he's doing this, and they don't do it. They run the ball around. It winds up back with Clay. Bucket. That was the shot where I think they realized, hey, just give him the ball every time down the floor.
It might have been the one where he didn't even get it, and he just went from catch to shoot.
Mm.
Like, didn't even load or nothing like that. Just, boom, net. That was crazy to see. That's one of them ones. It's definitely one of them ones. What about, this is a random one. Do you guys remember when Isaiah Thomas went off against the Clippers? I think they lost that game, but it was at Arco. Isaiah went crazy. I think it was Derek Williams' first game. He like threw an alley.
Oh, Jesus.
It was the first time I was like, yo,
Derek
Isaiah.
Williams' first game is a wild way to try to remember it.
I'm not going to lie. I think someone in the chat threw that in there too.
Was it this one?
Derrick Williams' first game, that dunk that didn't count for some reason.
No, it was crazy. The alley-oop was crazy. It was crazy. And I think that was the same Isaiah game. The alley-oop was crazy, and it didn't count because they called travel or something ridiculous. And Isaiah threw him a nasty oop. And then Isaiah had, like, he had done, like, a spin move, look away. Like, he got a rebound, did a spin move at half court, look away to Jason Thompson for a dunk, and everybody went crazy. Step back on Blake. Like, Isaiah went crazy. He went crazy in that game.
Mm.
I don't even know if you can find that Derek Williams thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Derek Williams from Georgia Tech, right?
Arizona. Shout out Roddy.
Derek Favors from Georgia Tech. Never mind.
Number two pick of the draft.
It was him and Kyrie.
Kyrie was number one. I only remember that because I remember talking to Io about Derek Williams or Kyrie Irving.
I remember.
Them draft talks is crazy in hindsight. You imagine sitting down talking to your boy about who should the Cavs draft, Kyrie Irving or Derek Williams?
Who did he want?
Kyrie. Yeah.
I think it was Ben Simmons said he would have took Derek Williams.
Well, that all right.
I found the dunk too. The whole damn game. Well, the highlights from the game.
Is it the Isaiah game? Is it the same one?
Yeah, it is. Derek Williams' amazing alley-oop dunk waved off. So he repeats it. Yeah, he did get another one too.
I think there's a problem in the college football playoff rankings. Kenny disagrees, but he takes pictures with just anybody, so I guess that doesn't really matter. But we'll talk about it. We'll work our way through it. It's Steelo and KC.
It wasn't even that crazy in hindsight. Oh, here's Doc, too. Doc is here saying no. Oh, this is good video.
Oh, we might have to put it on the stream.
Ben McLemore on the.
It's Steelo and KC. Oh, my God. It's ESPN 1320. I remember that one.
That was a good one.
Reminiscing about regular season games.
Kings don't play tonight.
Or last night. Or tomorrow.
What more do you want from us?
And we're playing records on Friday, so tune in. we got power rankings coming up. That'll be fun. They're going to be shaking up a little. I just realized the mistake I made in mine.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
I'll get your homework this time?
No, it's there. No. I just, this is.
Let me make sure mine's there. Somehow mine don't ever.
No, yours are there. I'm looking at yours. It was yours that reminded me that I think I made a mistake here. Mm. Oh, what do I do? Yeah, you see it. You see it. I'm correcting it. Can't do. Oh, man.
This one's interesting, though.
It is
interesting.
I don't like this.
I'm interested to see. I mean, I know what you're going to do there, but I'm interested to see what happens here.
Yeah.
It's a little interesting.
All right. I don't like it. No, this is good. This worked. All right.
Ooh. Ooh, okay.
All right, that's coming up.
We'll get to that.
Power rankings coming up. The latest college football playoff rankings came out. They're stupid.
They're not stupid.
They are stupid, and explain. Okay, explain to me then. Explain to me why this makes perfect sense.
All right, so the college football playoff rankings came out, the bracket and everything. Number one is Oregon. Number two is Texas. Number three, Miami. Number four, Boise State.
But is it?
That's where they're seeding it.
Those are the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't the rankings.
No.
Why don't you make the rankings and the seeds the same thing?
Because to get this done the way it's supposed to be, you have to incentivize teams to win the conference. That's what this comes down to.
The incentivization is when you're seeded fifth.
Win the conference. Well, win the conference.
What's the point in being ranked number two if you're seeded number five?
Because you're number two team, that's going to go towards your ranking. So, like, if you beat somebody, like,
but the rankings don't matter.
The rankings do
in terms
matter
of the college football
because
playoff.
That could go towards the strength of your win. If you're Indiana and you beat the number two team in the nation, that could vault you up. Or if you're Ohio State and you knock off, you're the new number one.
So every week that these rankings come out, you handle this. You put the college football playoff rankings into the rundown. And you don't put the rankings, you put the seedings.
Yes, because that's what matters.
That's what I just said. What is the point in having the rankings when they don't matter?
Well, because you have to have the rankings, like I said, to get the seeding to a certain
point. I don't think you do.
The seeding is... Ultimately, that is what matters. I do agree.
The seeding matters. Yeah, right.
So, but
those are the matchups. The matchups are based off the seeding,
right,
and not the ranking.
But Boise State's not the number four team in the nation. They're just the fourth seed. Right. So, yeah. So you wouldn't have.
But
Boise
that's
State
what matters.
Four. Yeah, it does. But when Boise State, if they lose, they're not going to go like in a rankings. They wouldn't go from four to out like they would of this bracket.
Do the rankings matter?
They
like
do.
So it's a little hard because they have a loss. Mm-hmm. But let's hypothetically say Ohio State is undefeated, but Oregon is still number one.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon is they're because they're ranked number one. They're the one seed,
mm-hmm,
which means Ohio State can't be the one seed. They have to be de facto if they're the top conference champion. They're the fifth.
Right.
They lose to Michigan. They still, they're obviously, they're still not the number one.
Mm-hmm.
But by being the fifth seed, you knew they were this. You essentially knew that they were number two.
Right. Right. Because they're the first.
So does it really matter?
So it does matter a little bit when you talk about this seeding and little stuff, because I was listening to something today about this, and it makes sense. If you're ranked a certain place, for instance, they talk where now it's Alabama and Notre Dame, but you avoid 9-8, right? So Ohio State being ranked second allows them to be seeded fifth where they're not in the 9-8 spot. Because they were talking about this specifically, because I was listening to Joel Klatt, because he was talking about the crying and complaining Kirby Smart was doing, mm-hmm, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, bro, like, stop. Because Kirby was like, well, if they would just come down here and see this atmosphere that we got to play in, you know, they need to give us more respect. And he was like, just settle down. Like, just win your games, you'll be fine. He said, but what he saw was, what he thinks, what he hypothesizes, Kirby saw was, there's no real path for them to get above like eight.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get caught at nine, so to speak, you don't have a home game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play the one seed. And then you, so like that's where the rankings come into play. Ohio State being five, yeah, you're five seeded, but your ranking is number two, gets you to the point where you're playing the weakest of the teams with the bye. It is a little convoluted.
I got you.
I get it.
I understand your point, and maybe this is an easy way for them to track this, mm-hmm. but if they've slotted Ohio State at five, mm-hmm. they know they're the number two team. Mm-hmm. If they've slotted under the situation, like if they're right. undefeated, they might not be. You could be slotted at five and not be the number two team. That could be a different conference
right,
leader.
Right.
I guess maybe that's why you do it, because the conference leaders could be ranked higher. I don't know.
I understand what you're saying.
It just feels like a lot because you're giving me Oregon, Ohio State, Texas. You're giving me all this, and then you're going, well, okay, now we go over here and we look at the seedings and we look at the matchups. And the number two team that we just talked about, they're actually seeded number five because Oregon, that heritage Big Ten school, they're number one. And that's probably not going to change. So we're going to put Ohio State over here to take on whoever it is at this point,
and
BYU.
It still can change, though.
Yeah, it definitely can.
Yeah, it still can change. They beat Ohio State, or excuse me, they beat Oregon in the Big Ten championship game.
They got to get past this weekend first.
It's going to be a good match. Did you see, and I don't think this will happen, but on the show, Joey Galloway, mm-hmm. they did like the percentages for teams to make the playoffs. And if Indiana right now, I think, is at 97% to make the playoffs. If they lose to Ohio State, their percentage goes to 96% to make the playoffs. So Joey Galloway says they should protect the quarterback, basically saying don't play him.
Mm-hmm.
Because the end game is to make this playoff, and a win or a loss doesn't affect you. And everybody was like, Joey, this is ridiculous. Like, nobody's like, what's more important?
Yeah.
You know, if he goes out there and gets hurt and now you're in the same situation that Florida State was in a year ago, we're going to be looking crazy.
Well, using them, that's like using the boogeyman. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find it, but because there's so many stupid numbers, I actually can't find it. College football playoff, maybe this is it. Isn't Indiana a top five team ranking wise?
Yeah, they're fifth, I think.
They're fifth, right. It's 2-5 this weekend. That's what I thought.
Yep. 7-6.
I think Joey's right. Well, I think Joey's right.
And this is the scary part about.
They're 10-0.
So the reason why you wouldn't do that is Indiana still has a chance to win the Big Ten.
Well, I think there's probably multiple reasons that you wouldn't do it. You also don't want to give the College Football Playoff Committee something like that. These aren't formulas. Mm-hmm. These are opinions. Mm-hmm. There might be a certain level of formula involved in it.
Right.
But I don't think the College Football Playoff Committee would take kindly to that.
Right. No, facts. Facts. And like I said, you still got a chance to win the Big Ten. So if you beat Ohio State, you kind of almost guarantee yourself in the Big Ten championship game, and you can get the first round bye.
Because I routinely forget they're in the Big Ten, I don't even know what Oregon's. Oh, they got Washington left.
Yeah, they're straight.
Okay, they're 12-0.
They're straight.